This year is dedicated Le'iluin Ishmos Rav Chaim Yesocha Ben Yechiel Zeidel Dov, our dear and unforgettable friend, Chaim Feigenbaum. He should be a Meretz Yosher for his wonderful family. This week's Parshas Chayesora, we've dealt in the past with many, many sugyas that are associated with this Parsha, but today we will be dealing with something that is only briefly mentioned in the Parsha, and it is as a superficial kesher with the essence of this Parsha, but nevertheless, an interesting sugya. We haven't dealt with the sugya in the past, and it does bear a certain relevance, bizman hazeh. So when Eliezer Eved Avraham talks and negotiates with Lavan and Bisuel, he tells the story, V'telet Zoroeshes Adoni Ben La'Adoni Achrei Ziknoso V'yeten Lo Et Kol Asher Lo. Rashi, quoting Pirkei de Rebbe Eliezer, Shtar Meton Ahera Le'em, he proved to them, providing evidence, showed them documentation that Avraham gave all his possessions to his son Yitzchak. Rabbeinu Eliyahu Mizrahi, one of the great commentators on Rashi al Torah, Bechalan, is very famous Sefer al Torah. The Mizrahi was a major poisik and teacher in his time, almost 400 years ago, and he comments, The Gemara in Bava Basa Kuflamet Gemara Medbeis Shinene Lote Heve Be'avuri Achsanta Filu Mibro Bishul Bro Tova. Chazal say it is wrong, according to Tshuva Sarosh Klal Pei and the Rashbam and the Spat. It's not only a Midas Chasidus; it is a basic prohibition and Isser. Lahavir Nachalami Ben Leben to jeopardize one of your children from your Yerusha, cutting him out and giving more of the Yerusha to another, that is a prohibition. Some poskim can maintain that it's not mamash a prohibition, but rather, as Chazal define it in that sugya, Ein ruach hachomem noiche heimeno, it is more of kind of a midas chasidus, but as I just mentioned, some of the Rishonim see it mamash as a prohibition. So the Mizrahi comments, How come he wasn't matben and he violated this halacha of avure achsanta? So I would like to deal with this question in three different approaches. Approach number one is more pilpul, a local approach, and then I would like to deal more with halachic ruling and definition, two different approaches which are mamish halacha. Comment number one regarding the basic question. The Gemara says, even me bro bishul bro tova, from a bad son to a good son. What do Chazal mean, good and bad? The Rambam Perek Vav Aloch Yud Aleph Melchus Nachlis, when he quotes this Gemara, he seems to indicate that the son is bad towards his father, means doesn't respect his father properly. And sometimes, I say this with great dismay, sometimes we see people that might be great tzaddikim and Torah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasodim, but sometimes they are found lacking in the way they interact with their parents. So the Rambam seems to indicate that the Ravusa is, even if a father is angry at a son, and he might have good reasons to be angry with some of his children, nevertheless he should not cut them out of his Yerusha, of his inheritance. But the more basic understanding, which also has some source in that same Rambam, is, you know, happens in the best families. Sometimes it's tragic, but it's part of the course of human events. You have one son that's a big tzaddik and an elachid, and another that isn't religious at all. And maybe that means mubro bishul bro tov, and nevertheless don't cut him out of the Yerusha. Why not? So the same Gemara, the same Halacha appears in Ksubas Nun Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says there, Dilma Nafik Menei Zara Ma'alye. Maybe your son isn't a big tzaddik, but maybe his children will come back to their forefathers' ways and they will be righteous. And therefore, don't deprive them of what they rightfully deserve. And that if in the Rosh seem to have that same garrison, the source of the Sugyam, Bava Basa Kuf Lamed Gimel, as well. If that is the reason Chazal said, Lo Teheve Be Ibure Achsanta, one should not be mavio, nachlo, mi ben le ben, mi yoresh li yoresh, and one should abstain from even participating as a aid. He shouldn't even sign on such a document, on such a shtar, if the reasoning is because, well, the Einikel might be a tzaddik, then Avraham Avinu, who obviously had Ruach HaKodesh, and he, if he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that Yishmael's children will be no better than their father was, and he didn't have that hope of Dilmenofik Menei Zara Ma'alia, maybe he would be entitled to be engaged in Abure Achsanta, to take Nachala away from Yishmael and give it all to Yitzchak. So this brings us to a basic question. Could a person rely halachically on Ruach HaKodesh? So many Achroinim explain, and I wrote about this in some other sources, I don't think we'll have time to deal with this today, that it depends. Ruach HaKodesh, which teaches you halachic ruling, no, bears no significance and no weight, because that is the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Nun Tes, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Hanani got up and he said, "Ein mashgichen bebas kol Torah loy b'shamayim yishikvan nitna b'har Sinai." So halachic ruling must be based on knowledge, on insight, on the understanding of Torah, and not on divine inspiration, not on Ruach HaKodesh. However, when a tzaddik or a navi knows the facts by Ruach HaKodesh, that definitely is reliable. So in our sugya, we're not dealing with Ruach HaKodesh that teaches you halacha, but Avraham knew by Ruach HaKodesh that is Einiklach, that the children of Yishmael will be no better than the father, and therefore he could rely on that knowledge, on that info, and act accordingly al pi halacha. But there is another question. This assumption seems to contrast the Gemara in Brochas Daf Yud Amud Aleph. Brochas Daf Yud Amud Aleph, Chazal tell us the story of that fateful encounter between the Navi and the king, the most righteous king of Israel, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and the Navi Yishayahu. So Chizkiyahu fell ill, and the Navi Yishayahu comes to visit, and Yishayahu tells Chizkiyahu, "Meisatu velo tichye, you will die and you shall not live." And the Gemara asks, what is the dual language? What is the Loshen Kofur? "Meisatu b'yolam hazeh velo tichye l'yolam habo." And the king is shocked and he says, "Why? What did I do?" "Mepnei shelo yosakto b'prior vio." You didn't engage in prior vio. So the king argues, "I saw Beruach HaKodesh, the Nofek Minizara de Lomalia. I saw in Ruach HaKodesh that my children will do terrible things, and therefore I prefer not to have children." And the Navi says, "No, you don't have the liberty to decide not to have children. Madem Mifkadasi Boyalach Lameved, Vakodesh Bohu Ketoiv Beinav Yaseh. Whether your children will be righteous or they will be evil, you have to do what you have to do. You have to perform those mitzvahs that are incumbent upon you, those commands that every Jew has, and therefore you should engage in prior vio regardless of what your children will turn out to be." So would that contradict what I suggested to explain Avraham Avinu and Abure Achsanta? Would we say, by the same token, the same argument, Avraham Avinu might have seen Beruach HaKodesh, Ishmael won't have proper children, but that doesn't change the din. Now, two different sugis. They have nothing to do. They have nothing in common. Priyarvi is a mitzvah to say anachoiva, and therefore a person has to perform his mitzvah regardless of what he sees in Ruach HaKodesh. Mashen itztaveta alecha lasot v'kodesh boruch hu yaseh ketov b'einav. A buri achsant is not a lav, nor is it a mitzvah to say. It is a rabbinical precept, either a midas chesidus or a halacha. And by basic logic, one would say, you know, if I have one son at tzaddik and the other one at rosha, and the rosha isn't toisa ma'ase amcho, why should I give him? Wouldn't it be preferable to give the tzaddik? However, maybe your enikel would be a tzaddik. So in that case, it's not a mitzvah say or a lav. It is a loch which is based on logic, and therefore logic should apply. The other point is a more relevant one. And the other point is this. A person is mechuyev in pri arvia. And regarding the mitzvah of pri arvia, it doesn't matter at all whether your children are tzaddikim or rishoyim. A person is mekayem pri arvia regardless of the moral and religious standard and standing of his children. And that is what the Navi tells Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Makes no difference whether your children will be righteous or evil. But regarding Avuri Achsante, I quoted the Gemara in Ksuvis and the Rifin Bava Basa. The basis of this halacha that one should not be mavi nachlam abro bishul abro tova from a bad son to a good son is only because dil menofek min ezara don amali, and therefore if he saw beruach hakodesh that would not happen, then this halacha by halachic definition would not apply. So my first response to the kash of the Mizrahi would be a very simple one: the halacha doesn't apply in a case of Avraham Avinu because he saw Beruach HaKodesh that, to his terrible disappointment, he does not have to be choishish. Dil menofik menei zara delo me'alia. That would be my first approach. Second approach that occurs to me right now would be this. In last week's parsha, when Sarah sees Yishmael fooling around, and Sarah demands from Avraham Avinu, "Vatoyim al Avraham, goreish ha'omo hazois ve'ezbeno, ki lo yirash beno omo hazois imbni im Yitzchak." And the Torah tells us, Avraham was very disturbed, ve'yera hadov ve'miyoyd be'enei Avraham aloyd ezbenoi, ve'yoyim ilalokim al Avraham, al yera be'enecho al anar, ועל המוסחו כל אשר תאמר עליך אסור לשמע בקול עקב יצחק יקור עליך זורה. So in Pashtus we learn that Kodesh Baruch tells Avraham Avinu, do as Sarah says, get him out of the house. But maybe it goes beyond that. Sarah's argument is ki lo yirash beno omo hazoisim b'ni v'em Yitzchak, and the interpretation of Rashi on the spot in Parshas V'yero is she's actually dealing with Yerusha, with Dina Yerusha. She doesn't want Yishmael to partake in the Yerusha, and maybe that is included in what the Kodesh Baruch Hu says kol asher toimer elecho asur lishma b'koilo ki v'Yitzchak yekorei elecho zora. Yitzchak and not Yishmael, specifically referring to the Yerusha. Kilo yirash beno umazois and beni vim Yitzchak. So maybe in this case there wouldn't be no ibur echsante because that is the will of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That is included in what a Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Avraham. Kol asher toimer elecho, soro shma mekola. So these are two local approaches dealing with the specifics of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yishmael, the triangle of Avraham, the Manchel, Yitzchak and Yishmael the Yoshim. However, I would like to deal with the basic sugya of Aburi Achsanta. Two of the great poskim of our time, our generation, Rab Moshe and Rab Ovadia Yosef, we are still in the shloshim of his ptira. We're still under the impression and the great feeling of loss. Igres Moshe Choshe Mishpot Chelik Beis Emenun Yabia Omer Chelik Ches Choshe Mishpot Siman Yud. Each of these two great Gedolim, in his specific style, give basically the same psak. If a person has a son who was a Mechala Shabbos before Hesya, by halachic definition he would be defined as a Mumer. There is no Isor Lahavir Nachala. And when the Gemara says one should not participate in Avoras Nachala, Afilu mebrobi shelebrotovo, that means one of your children is a tzaddik and the other one isn't exactly so, but he isn't a mumer. Maybe he's not a medaktik b'mitzvahs, maybe he's a mezalza b'mitzvahs, maybe he isn't as you would expect him to be in kibud av em or in other specific mitzvahs. However, if he's a mumer or a machal shabbos v'faresia, then it is not reasonable to expect del menofik menei zara ma'alia. Because in the normal course of human experience, usually children follow in their parents' footsteps, and it's a bit unreasonable to expect from a child or children growing up in a non-shrum household that they should be tzaddikim. And therefore, Reb Moshe and Reb Ovadia both paskin. If one of a person's children is a Mechal Shabbos b'Farhesya or the likes, then he is entitled to cut him out of his Yerusha and give his estate to those children that follow in his footsteps. Kiyudativ lamana shietzav esbona v'beisachlo v'shomru derech Hashem la'asiz tzedoko v'mishpot. It is just interesting to note that Rav Moshe basically doesn't deal much with Achronim, but the Rav Ovadia does bring that the Maram Shik actually is the first giving this same ruling. Chuvas Maram Shik Chelik Choshu Mishpot Simem Mem Gimel, a very short tshuva, and the Maram Shik reaches the same conclusion based on Savora. So the Maram Shik, the Igres Moshe, give this halachic ruling without bringing many sources. The Abia Omer, Kedarka B'Kodesh, brings loads of sources, a ton of sources. But I am surprised that neither of these three great Gedolim, the Maram Shik that lived almost 200 years ago, Rav Moshe and Rav Ovadia, who were, in our times, do not bring what is, in my opinion, the most important and the most basic source dealing with this halacha. And that is a sif in Yoredei Siman Kuf Nun Tes, the first siman in Hilchas Ribis. What do we have there? The Shulchan Aruch paskins that a person could give a loan to a mumar lahaches, and take ribis from him, because the posuk says leochicho lo tashich, and a mumar is not considered ochicho. He is not ochicho b'mitzvahs. Well, if you hear any background noise or music, it's because today is election day in Yerushalayim. Can't escape it. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you are entitled to take ribis from emomer mechal shabbos b'farhesia. The Ramo brings tov lahachmir. What is the basis of the Ramo's opinion? The Beis Yosef and the Bach have an argument. How do we interpret an interesting line we find in Tosfos and in the Rosh? Tosfos and Avodah Zarah Chavov and Beis and the Rosh in Piskei HaRosh. Tosfos and the Rosh broke being a Momel HaHaches Hanitma Bein HaNochrim. That is the Loshon of Tosfos. The Rush writes, a mummer sheyotzo min haklal. And the Bais Yosef asks, what is this new definition? Throughout Shas, we know there's a mumma l'tiyoven and a mumma l'hachis, but what is the definition of a mumma sheyotzo min haklal? Both understand the metzias. Mumma sheyotzo min haklal is somebody that left the fold. He distanced himself entirely from the Jewish community. He has no kesher with the Jews, and his social circle is with the Christians or others, but he totally moved on, he moved away. He no longer is part of the Jewish community, no longer has any Jewish identity. Why would that make a difference? So the Bais Yosef's interpretation is an interesting one, and he says, it's a revusa. Even though l'chatchila he wasn't a mumma l'hachis, but for various different reasons. Sometimes totally social reasons. But because he totally detached himself from his Jewish surroundings, social circle, identity, he has a din of a mumma l'hachis. The Bach has a starkly different approach. And the Bach says, even a mumma l'hachis, we should be chas al memoinoi, and we shall not take ribbis from him, because del menofik menei zara ma'alia. He's still part of us. He's still part of the Jewish community. And therefore, there is some probability that maybe his children will be coming back, and therefore, we should not be mezalzel b'memoinoi. It is only when he is yotzam al haklal v'nitma bein anochrim that there is no longer, it is no longer reasonable to assume or to hope the nofek menei zara ma'alia. The Shach quotes the Bach, and that is the opinion of the Chavos Das and Siv Kotten Gimel. So I think this is the most important source, because all the other sources are dimyonis. This is a source in which Gedolei HaPoskim offer a different interpretation, and this is a machlokes between the Bais Yosef and Bach and many other poskim on each side as to when it is reasonable to hope Lazara Ma'alia and when that no longer has any halachic relevance. So this is a machlokes between Gedolei HaPoskim, and according to some of them, ואיסה להעביר נחלו מבין לבין בישל הברוטו, it doesn't apply to a machal Shabbos and a person that totally leaves the fold. In my personal opinion, this concept of dilma nofet menei zara ma'alia doesn't have to be across the board, because in the Gemara we find it in three different contexts. One is Musa. Even though almost a mutar hargoi, some say that we shouldn't destroy his mumen or confiscate his mumen. Del menofik menei zara ma'alia. Psochim mem tesu mitbeis. Ama oretz mechloikis whether machrizen al aveidosoi. And aboriach santa, the sugi in which we are dealing today. I don't think necessarily the rules have to be totally the same, lav b'chodam machta machtinen lehu, because del menofek menei zara ma'alia is a general feeling, and therefore each sugya might have its own specifics and own details. Shavas aveda lechud, mamon mosu lechud, havarat nachla lechud, and there is no necessity to deal with all three of these sugyas with the same token and the same basic rules. So before moving on, let me just say this. Yishmol definitely was totally out of the fold. Yitzchak was Jewish, Yishmol was not. Definitely a mumma l'hachis, and therefore, by halachic definition, according to the Manshik, the Egis Moshe and the Abi Omer, there would be no Issa of Havoras Nachal. Argument number four is a very, very basic one. I wrote about this in the past, and I feel very strongly about it. The halacha of Havoras Nachala has two sources in Shas, quoted before. Ksubis Nun Gimel Amad Alav, Bava Basra Kuf Lamad Gimel Amad Beis. Nifsak Barambam, Perek Vov Alach Yud Alaf Menachlas, Anachosh Mishpatsim and Reish Pei Beis. That must have some limitations. Isn't the person entitled to do with his money as he wishes and to give gifts for his children? Does he have to give the same gift, same amount of money, all his life to each and every one of his children? That goes against common practice and common sense. More than that, there are four different ways in which a person could intervene in Dinei Nachalos and give one of his children, or even other persons, strangers, part of his nachlo, part of his rechush. Number one is a din diuraisa nachlo de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike maintains in Bava Basra Kuf Lamed that Torah nos naroshes lodom la'anchel kol mi shiirtze. He learns that from Vahoyu b'yom hanchiloi ezvonov. A person could decide b'dinei nachlis to give one son more than the others. That is Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike. Number two is matnas shchiv mara. When a person is on his deathbed, when he is desperately ill, whatever he says has tekefut, has validity, as if he did a kinyan. Number three is matona machayim, and that is a tzavua al pi halacha. In a legal tzavua, in a halachic tzavua rather, contrary to the legal one, halachic tzavua was always based on matona machayim, shoachas lefnei misosi. That is the third method. Number four is mitzvah lekayim divrei hameis. We will not be going into all the details of these various formulations, but generally there are four different ways in which a person is entitled to intervene in Yerusha Shel Torah and to dictate who gets what. One of these four dinim is the din diuraisa nachla de Rabbi Yochanan ben Broike, and the others are maybe also diuraisa, but different methodology and different formulations enabling a person to dictate who gets what and how much. Do all these four halachas go against Havoras Nachala? Would they all be prohibited? That is extremely unlikely and unreasonable, because we find these formulations dealt with at great length in the Poskim. And it doesn't seem to be reasonable that they are all Issur and all are against Halacha. If that would be the case, it should be clearly stated. And we find these sugyas dealt with at length in the Gemara, in the Rambam, in Shulchan Aruch, in all the Rishonim, and it definitely doesn't seem to be that we're dealing with the Surim. I am aware of only one source, and not a very basic source. Actually, one of the Achronim in a Sefer that was printed in Tov, Reish, Chof, Tes, 150 years ago, a Sefer called Kerem Chemed, Hagro in Kaveh Simen Pei Dalad, and he brings that was a Takona in Fas, in Morocco, one of the big Jewish communities in Morocco, that every matna shchiv mara had to be administered in the presence of the chochem of the Rav, and that Rav had to give tochocha and musa for the shchiv mara on his deathbed, and telling him, you're not doing the right thing, you shouldn't be mavi nachalom ben leben. How come we don't find this halacha anywhere in the major poskim? And it is also a very strange halacha, because the entire din of matna shchiv mara keksum vechem surim dami is shalot itarev da'ato. Because a person is in extreme anxiety. He's afraid he's going to die. And he wants the dictator's nachala. And to give him some degree of calm and serenity, Chazal were metaken, divrei shchiv marak eksuvim vechimsurim domi. That wouldn't do him much good, having the Rav standing over his bed and saying, you're going to burn in Gehenim, you're doing an Aveda, on one hand, and on the other hand saying, but if you want it anyway, then you don't have to make a kinyan and everything is going to be okay. Seems absurd. So obviously, we must achieve some kind of understanding that these halachas don't go in the face of the Isser of Aburi Achsantov Havoros Nachala. And therefore, it seems very clear to me that the entire prohibition and concept of Avoras Nachala is only when it is in a negative connotation. Style is as important as substance and perception. It all depends how this act is perceived by the people involved. A father should not do good for one of his children and bad for the others. A father should not display love and appreciation for some and hatred or displeasure with others. Havoras Nachala is only prohibited when it is seen and perceived as Havora, as taking away. But in any case in which the motives aren't negative motives, as in every family, you know, you have three kids. Two are very rich. One doesn't have panos. Wouldn't it only be natural that the one that is in need and desperation should be given more help and assistance than the others? You have two kids. One of them has two children and the other has 13 children. One is sitting in Kailo, barely making it. The other is in business, doing very well. He takes a summer vacation and a winter vacation. So when in the normal course of events, it is not seen as deprivation, as taking away, as intervention, as, you know, giving more to one than to the other, there would be no prohibition and no problem in Havoras Nachala. I developed this feeling primarily from learning the Rambam in Perek Vov of Hilchos Nachalos. In Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam writes the din of Havoras Nachala. And then, in Halacha Yud Gimel, right after summarizing the din of Avoras Nachala, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, I think it appears in Shabbos Daf Yud, that has nothing to do with Yerusha. Le'olam al yafle odom ben bein habonim. Sharei bishvil shnei sela milois nizgalgalu advorim v'yordu avoseinu l'mitzrayim. One should not discriminate one child from another. That is what Yaakov Avinu did with Yosef, and that caused tragedy. And Nizgalgalu Advorim V'yordu Avoseinu L'Mitzrayim. So if the Rambam brings this halacha right here in Hilchos Nachalos, even though it has nothing to do with Yerusha, it is quite obvious that the essence of these two halachas are the same. Why do Chazal see Yaakov Avinu's story with Yosef and his brothers in a negative light? Because Yosef was the only one that got that ksoinis pasim. He was the special son of Yaakov. He was the privileged one. He got what none of the others got. That was seen by the brothers as blatant discrimination and ultimately brought about strife, hatred, and tragedy. And if the Rambam brings this halacha in Hilchos Nachalos together with the halacha of Avoras Nachala, that proves that essentially these two halachas are of the same nature. So Avoras Nachala is only a prohibition when it is seen as discrimination, because you like Yankel more than you like Yosef. You like this one better than you like the other one. or you dislike one of your children and therefore you're cutting him out of your tzava. Discrimination is prohibited in the context of Hilchas Nachalis, and that is what Chazal define as Havoras Nachal. And therefore, all the basic formulations in which a person could dictate who gets what in normal circumstances are permissible, if they are based on something which is reasonable and justified and morally, ethically sound. And therefore, the Poskim have nothing to say about these different methods and formulations of intervening with the Dine Yerush. I want to prove this point from an interesting Masa Rav, one of the greatest Poskim in the past 200 years, was the Maharsham. I'm a great admirer of the Maharsham, the Brajan Rav, Shalas Achuvas Maharsham. He was one of the great Gedolim of Galicia, and his stature as a Poisik is above and beyond anybody really that's Oisik and Aloha knows the Maharsham. Achuvas Maharsham, we find an interesting tshuva, Chelik Zayin Siman Yud Beis, dealing with Havoras Nachal. And the Mesha makes it very clear, even at Tzavua Al Pi Alocha, Machalak Nachosav Machayev, there's an Issa of Havoras Nachal. However, the Mesham himself wrote at Tzavua, and that Tzavua is printed in the introduction to a Sefer Tcheles Mordechai Al HaTorah. And in that Tzavua, he appoints his son, Reb Tzvi, as the administrator or the executioner of his tzavua, and he writes that Reb Tzvi will decide how much each of his children get in accordance to their needs. So the Masham, one of the greatest poiskim of his generation and beyond, even though in his tshuvis makes it very clear that Mechalak Nachos HaMachayev still fits in with Havoras Nachal, that is exactly what he did. And I think the point is, each of his children will get in accordance to his needs, and in that case, it would not be considered as Havoras Nachal. Coming back to this week's parsha, Rashi Chov Dalet Posik Yud writes that the reason Avraham Avinu gave Kol HaShaloi to Yitzchak is he was concerned about Yitzchak's shidduch. Oh, he knew that Yishmael will find his spouse in his own way. He didn't worry about Yishmael, but he worried about Yitzchak, Kerem Beis Yisrael. And to enhance the standing of Yitzchak, Bien Elavon and Besuel, they like money. That is the reason he gave Kol HaShaloi to Yitzchak. And if that is the case, it would not be an Isser of Havoras Nachal. So today we dealt with a very interesting and a very relevant halachic sugya, sugya in Choshem Mishpat and Dina Nachalas, Ebureach Santa, and we resolved the kash of the Mizrahi on Rashi and Chazal in four different approaches, two of them local, specific, two of them dealing with the basic halachas of Havoras Nachal. Rashi kulam shovim l'toivo. And the Medrash says, Yerdei Hashem yemei tamimim, kishem sheheim tamimim, kach yemeihem tamimim. The days of our Ovis were whole, kulam shovim l'toivo. And we all remember Rashi. Rashi at the beginning of the parsha, Rashi indicates in what way all her days were Shavam Latoiva. Bas Kuf Kibas Chof, Bas Chof Kibas Zayin. We find a similar concept at the end of the parsha regarding Avraham Avinu as well. ואלה ימי שני חיי אברהם, אשר חי מאז שונו ושבעים שונו וחמש שונו, מן רשי there, as well brings בן קוף כבן עין, בן עין כבן הי, בלא חטא. I think the basic idea is consistency. To achieve greatness, you must be consistent. And you must be focused. And you must take advantage of every day and every period in your life. Chazal tell a story in Medrash Rabbah. Rabbi Kiva hoye yoshev v'doresh. Bikshu hu am lehisnamne. Rabbi Kiva was lecturing, he was giving a shiur. And people were drowsing off. Amar, ma roso Esther shetimloch al kufchov zayin medinas. In Megillas Esther, we read that Esther, or Ahasuerus, was king over 127 nations, countries. Ma roso Esther shetimloch al kufchov zayin medinas. Amro tove baz bita shel soro shechayis al kufchov zayin shonim v'timloch al kufchov zayin medinas. Strange. A Gadata sometimes seems to be remote and far-fetched, but what does it have to do? Because Sora lived Kuf Chav Zayin Shonim, that's why Esther reigned over Kuf Chav Zayin Medinas. And why is that relevant when people were falling asleep when Rabbi Kiva was giving a shir? My feeling is this. Who knew better than Rabbi Kiva how important it is to be consistent and focused and never, never sway? There's a very famous word of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, the great Rosh Yeshiva in Mir. Ksubizav Samach Beis, Chazal tell the story of Rabbi Kiva. 12 years he was sitting in Yeshiva, and his wife, that great tzedekis, Rocha Bas Kalba Savua, was taking care of the family. After 12 years, Rabbi Kiva decides to come home to visit Rochel, his beloved wife. He comes home, standing out of the house, he hears a discussion, conversation between Rochel and a neighbor. And a neighbor asks his wife Rochel, Ad Mosel Munes Chayes, how long will you be a living widow? You're married, but you haven't seen your husband for 12 years. And that great tzaddik says, if he would listen to me, if he would take into account my feelings, he would go for another 12 years. What does Rabbi Kiva do? Turns around, goes back to yeshiva for another 12 years. So Rabbi Chaim, in his very special style, asked, is that the right thing to do? You hear such magnificent, such holy words from your beloved life. At least come into the house, express some appreciation, kiss your family members, hug them all, and say, thank you for letting me go for another 12 years in yeshiva. But he turns around and goes back to yeshiva without even saying thank you, I love you, to Rochel, to that great tzedekis, to the Rebbetzin. So Rav Chaim had gezogt, b'cheshboino shel Teira, in the mathematics of Teira, 12 and 12 does not equal 24. 24 is far more than 12 and 12. Torah has a different arithmetic, a different set of rules of mathematics. 24 is a whole. 12 and 12 are two halves. Two halves do not make a whole. Because in our strive to greatness in Torah, we have to understand and appreciate every day is a gift, every day is a mission, and every day has its own call and demands and challenges. So Rabbi Kiva is teaching Torah, and people are drowsing off, sleeping. Rabbi Kiva says, this cannot be. In this way, you will never achieve Kisro Shel Torah. You will never achieve the crown of Torah. Sora Menu lived Kuf Chav Zayin Shonim. Kuf Chav Zayin as one whole. Bas Kuf Ke Bas Chav, Bas Chav Ke Bas Zayin. Every day was whole. We know today how much effort, how much toil it takes to be the mayor of a little town, being king of a country. How did Esther manage it all? Kuf Chav Zayin Medina is 127 countries. That should have been a real handful. She learned from Sarah. Kuf Chav Zayin Shonim. With passion, with dedication, with total devotion, never letting go. It is only that way that we could achieve any level of greatness in Torah and in Ruchnius. Kapitel Chof Zion in Tehillim is that very famous kapitel, L'Dovad Hashem Oyde V'Yishi. We say that Perek every day, twice a day, in Chodesh Elul and Tishrei, till after the Yom Tov. One of the beautiful ideas I said many years ago, David HaMelech says, "Achas shu'alti mi'yis Hashem o'yisa avaka, shifti b'v'yis Hashem kol yomai chayi, lachsiz b'noyach Hashem, b'noyam Hashem u'levaker b'heicholoi." Achas shu'alti in the past, o'yisa avakesh in the future. Why? David HaMelech says, "I have been a pauper, and I've been made a prince." No, not the prince and the pauper, far more than that. David was a shepherd in his younger years, a roi tzon, and he became the greatest king of Israel, Melech Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. How different is the life of the shepherd than the life of the king? What are the dreams of a shepherd? Find some water, find some shade. Sitting under the tree, looking at his herd, at his sheep, taking his flute and doing some music. That is the Gan Eden of the shepherd. A king has different dreams, different aspirations, different challenges, different hardships. A king is a king. And he thinks about gold and silver and riches and just about safeguarding and preserving his kingdom. David says, "I was a shepherd and I have become a king. And nevertheless, the dream of my life is unchanged. It is the same." What is it? Shifti beveis Hashem kol yimei chayei. Lachziz benoyam Hashem ulevaker beheichol. Vavroam zokem bo biyomem, the Zohar HaKodesh says, bo biyomem, in our afterlife, in the days of judgment, lachem meyaveslim, when a person goes up to the heavens and stands for judgment b'fnei HaKodesh Baruch Hu, each and every one of his days testifies. It is like taking out a calendar, and one day after the other gives testimony. What did this person do in my day? Vavrom zoken bu biyomem. Not many of us will stand that test, and that is the concept, that is the bechina of kulam shovem letoiv. The first of the Oves and the first of the Imois in this week's Parsha Avraham and the Sora, Kulam Shovem Letoiva. Every day was a blessing, every day was a gift, every day was a challenge, and every day was a mission. And they knew how to take advantage of every day. Utilize the Koiches and Nefesh of youth and of Zikno. Chassidim say in the name of the first Belzer of Rav Sholem Belzer, V'heishev lev ovoysel bonim v'lev bonim el ovoysam. Et geim yinge herzer for alte leute, in alte herzer for junge leute. The energy, the enthusiasm of youth, and the yeshuv das and the wisdom of zikna. Let us take advantage of every day. Let us see every day as a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a challenge, and as a mission. And that is the derech of our avos, kulam shovim l'toiva. Shenezke tamid l'kadesh shem shemayim, b'chol yom v'yom. Kol ha'olech b'darka avos, ani meskoyim amorov b'schus avos, b'glal avos, tashia bonim v'sovei ge'ule l'vnei v'neim, b'mheiro v'yomeinu, amen.